Welcome to Crossroads Connection. This is a show all about having conversations surrounding life, ministry, and culture. And I want to say a quick thank you to all of our friends at the Truth Network for airing this program. And I want to welcome everybody who are joining Jamie and I right now on this Saturday at noon program. We're always so grateful.
Welcome.
Jamie, we love our listeners, don't we?
We love our listeners.
Yeah, it's a good thing, right?
Yes, we're so glad they join us every Saturday.
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's noon, it's Saturday.
Right.
They're out driving around.
They're getting it done. Yeah. And listening to us.
Getting something done, right? Getting something done.
I think
so.
I hope so.
So here we are. We are now in our 30-plus episode. We're in the 30s now here on the Truth Network, and we are so grateful for the opportunity and the time here.
Yeah.
And Tyler is out of town, so it's just Jamie and I.
It's us.
And a very special guest today.
Oh,
we've got
really?
A special guest today, and I think it's a timely guest.
It's so timely, and I was really inspired and excited by the ministry that he is going to be telling us about later on.
That's right. When I say it's timely, it's very... This political season we are in right now. Now, listen, as soon as I said the word political, I think some people almost just drove their car off. You know, just like, you know.
Maybe they started to turn it down.
Yeah, don't turn
it
off.
Don't worry.
Jamie and I are not here to tell you how to vote,
nope.
who to vote for, or even to talk politics.
No.
But the season that we're in right now, it is a very contentious, hot, stressful season.
It is, and that's why I love the vision of this ministry to just minister to the hearts of some of our political leaders. Not to be political.
That's right, not to be political, but it's a mission field.
It is.
So it's a missions field. So
for sure.
Before we get to that interview, though, I thought this was a great tie-in to what we just talked about out of Haggai chapter 2.
Right.
So we just preached a message out of Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 to 9. Real quick synopsis of Haggai. So Haggai is writing to the church or the people. Their main job was to rebuild the temple. So Babylonian captivity comes in.
Right.
The Babylonians come in, take them away. Now the exile from Babylon has happened. They're back. And their main job is to build the temple. Well, it's been 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the temple still hasn't been built yet. And here's why. Because their own personal preferences got in the way of God's purpose and plan for their life.
Right.
And I just feel like that's a message that we need to be reminded of, that God's got a purpose and a plan for our church, for you as a listener right now, for everybody that is doing whatever you're doing. There's a purpose and plan, but how often do we get our personal affairs or what we personally think need to happen in the way of God's plan? And I think at the same time, we forget that, boy, our country's a missions field right now.
Oh my goodness.
There are so many things out there. There's so many hurting people. Mm. There's people that are confused. There's people that are angry. There's people that are yelling. And there's a job to do. So God has a job for us to do.
Yes.
So for those of you listening right now, if you are a believer, our job is very clearly spelled out. We are to go make disciples. We're supposed to preach the gospel, teach people to obey his commandments, and baptize people. That's all of our job together. But I just wonder how often we lose sight of that because we're so busy with our own stuff and we have our own things going on. One of the things that Haggai was encouraging the builders in is three areas. And I want to encourage you with this because it ties in really, truly with our guest today. And that is Haggai was constantly letting them know, listen, you need to renew your courage. You need to renew your holiness. And you need to have a renewed sense of faith because greater things are ahead. And I believe that. Do you believe that? I know you believe that, Jamie.
You know I believe
that. We're hanging
that.
On to that.
That's right.
In a huge way that
hanging
we believe that,
that
greater things are ahead of us.
Yeah.
And listen, we're in a season right now where whether it's racial tension, political issues, coronavirus, schooling, finances, I mean, everything, your own stuff, my stuff.
Yep.
We need a little bit more courage, holiness, and faith right now inside the church and outside, which is why I love this guest.
Yes. Oh, what a great reminder. I'm all fired up now. I want to hear our interview with our guest. It's Dr. Brad Harbaugh. He's the president of Capital Commission. And so let's hear a quick word from our sponsor so we can jump into our interview with Brad.
Perhaps you've asked yourself this question. Are you running the business or is the business running you? How might your teams grow if your teams were driving the business forward instead of you? You are sitting on a wealth of untapped opportunity. It takes courage to learn how to create a culture where your people are truly empowered to own their seats. My name's Cheryl Scanlon, business and executive coach. Working together, we'll go straight to your core challenges to sort through competing demands and realign to your highest priorities for measurable results. Visit c3advantage.net. That's c3advantage.net.
This ministry is advancing gospel hope in this nation on a unique mission field that is critical to you. the field of your governing leaders and their supporting staff. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the only hope that does not disappoint. Let's advance hope. Let's advance the gospel.
All right. Well, we are back from the break with our very special guest, Dr. Brad Harbaugh with Capital Commission. Dr. Brad, thank you so much for being on the program with us today.
Thank you. It's my privilege to join you today and share with you the great things that God is doing on the mission field of your governing leaders.
Yes. Yep. And what a time to talk about it. What a time to talk about it right now.
Absolutely. And our men are standing in the gap on a pretty dark mission field right now. A lot of polarization, but the gospel light shines brightest in the darkness.
That's true.
We're really seeing that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we talk about Capital Commission, let's talk a little bit about Brad, how you ended up down here and the mission and vision that you had and for Capital Commission. So what brought you to the area, first of all?
It would be 18 years ago now. The Lord led me from a senior pastor in Michigan, where I had served for 18 years in pastoral ministry, and brought me to Colonial Baptist, serving on staff with singles and just a variety of ministries, finishing solidly with evangelism and discipleship and looking at local outreach. And it was really that look at the church and Hosea that talks about the Lord quoted it twice. I desire mercy, not sacrifice.
Right.
That idea of addressing the mess in the culture. And that really is what led me to Capital Commission.
Yeah. You know, and I think you hit it right, you know, the mess of culture. And I think anytime that we're following Jesus, he's going to lead us into the mess of humanity. Yeah, you just look at what he did and his ministry, and he was right into the mess of humanity. And I think that you hit it right on. And right now, Brad, it's kind of a messy time right now in a lot of ways in our world culture and, of course, in our government. So talk to us a little bit about Capital Commission. What exactly is it for people that are not aware of it? And yeah, let's just chat a little bit about that.
Well, most people don't get it. I'm just going to say that right up front. Most action that people want to take is political activism, but this approach is similar to what Jesus did, where he sat between the political leaders of his day, the zealots and the Herodians, and focused on the way, the truth, and the life and the kingdom of God. Capital Commission comes to the Capitol, and our focus is non-denom, non-political, and non-lobbying. We believe the gospel is most powerful when it doesn't have an agenda attached. There's some great agendas. There are some great things to lobby for. There are great moral cause. And I appreciate the people that do that. But what I found, and I think Chief Supreme Court Justice Parker of Alabama said it well, he said, years ago, I stood here with Gary Bauer and James Dobson, and I realized that we've got ministries here for every issue, but no one is ministering exclusively to the legislators and staff. Hmm. And I wanted to say right up front, pray for the state of Alabama, because we are trying to plan another state minister there. And we've been developing that field for about a year and a half. But that's really the heartbeat of who we are. We are there with the gospel. Our vision is every leader, every capital, every day. Our mission is bringing gospel hope and spiritual strength to governing leaders and staff.
Wonderful.
So we empower believers. You know, we vote in those, especially those probably listening to this broadcast, you want to vote in people that have a biblical worldview. They get to that capital, they are just overwhelmed by political expediency. And what Capital Commission does for believers in a capital is we open the door for them to come to a Bible study. And we have, this year, it's exploded. We have 40, 50 legislators in many capitals across this country that are coming via Zoom or a free conference call .net. And it's breaking down a lot of barriers. It's taken away some of the fear of people that don't know the Lord or maybe don't want to see, tell other people that they're somewhat religious. And they'll come on the internet Bible study. We've seen two legislators come to Christ this year alone. Mm-hmm. And God is just doing some great things. And I love this story. If I could just share it quickly,
Absolutely.
Is that, you know, the highest ranking legislator in California, his chief of staff came to Bible study with him only because he wrote his speeches. And he actually pulled our state minister aside and said, I don't believe any of this. I really don't believe any of this at all, but I need to understand how he thinks so I can write his speeches for him. And he came to Bible study for a year, and that was really his focus. And this senator kept putting scripture verses in his speeches that this man had to look up, and he kept coming to Bible study. In June, he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That's the power of the Word of God, and of course, the Spirit of God that brings conviction to righteousness and sin, and draws us to salvation. And,
yeah.
and that's what's happening. That's what's yeah. happening across this country.
That's absolutely amazing. I love hearing stories like that. And so you're mentioning Bible studies, and so when it comes down to what all you all do at these different places, is it the Bible study, is that the one and main thing you all do, or do you have other support, other ministries that accompany that for those people in those positions?
Well, I'll tell you what, there are three words that describes our ministry approach, presence, prayer, and proclamation, the three P's. And I have a testimony of a South Dakota representative. And here's what she said. Our Capitol Commission state minister was a permanent fixture in the state capitol during the legislative session. He stood by at all times to observe and reach out to anyone needing prayer and support. In past sessions, we've had a chaplaincy type program, but I haven't noticed before anyone sitting in committee hearings in an attitude of unobtrusive prayer, as I witnessed your state minister doing. I and 10 to 12 other legislators attended his weekly study on the Gospel of John and were fed and encouraged by his teaching. I felt he went over and above caution to honor the time constraints we all worked under and was never anything but helpful. Now, that's typical of our ministry from California to North Carolina.
Yeah.
And that's the big deal. I mean, I love the churches that come to the Capitol and pray, and many do. I love pastors that come in and meet with their legislators, and I see some doing that. But to have someone who is there, who builds rapport and earns their trust.
Yep.
Now, we live in a day when half of our nation hates their legislators, or half the nation thinks their legislator is God, little
right.
g.
Right? Yep, yep.
And they all want something from them. And so all legislators have many defense mechanisms. They're layered in. They really don't, you know, the people out there, it's very hard to get them to trust you.
Yeah.
But when they trust you, think about their life, because they're under duress. They're under so much pressure. They're always talked about. They have to live their life in a glass bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get to that point, when you're not there to get something from them, but they yep. see you're really there for them, providing soul care, that's when their heart opens.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's when we have the opportunity to minister to their personal needs, and the Word of God penetrates, and we see God do a great work.
Yeah. So talk about your team. So you keep mentioning your team, and it's obviously across the country. So how does the organization work, and who are these people that are holding these Bible studies? How are they connected? And so just walk me through really just that structure of the organization.
Each state that we're in, and we're in 20 states by name, and four or five additional that we would say endorsed or carry a very similar philosophy. So we're half the states ministering to about half the legislators in the state capitals. We also minister to attorney generals. And when we go to DC, which we do frequently, we'll minister to our congressional leaders there. But each state minister is kind of like a missionary to that state and the legislators in that state. So he's present in the Capitol. He builds a team around him that would help him with various events. This year's been a tough year with the virus.
Right.
And so a lot of prayer events or whatever are not happening where they're public gatherings, but prayer events that would bring biblical worldview. In North Carolina, for instance, we did something called Books and Bagels, and we gave away Christian worldview books and breakfast food. Mm-hmm. And I think some of that changed a little bit. We had to do it outside or in a different location, but we were able to give out over 500 Christian books. And I'm talking about, I don't have enough, not enough faith to be an atheist the book that presents evidence that demands a verdict. Yep. Or books about, apologetics. Yep. But we wanted to stay away from political toned books.
Right.
And sometimes we get those. We try to minister to the soul, and we saw God use that in a great way.
Yeah.
They ate up the food and they ate up the books.
Yeah.
And so saturating the Capitol with Christian worldview.
Yep.
Is really
That's excellent.
A big deal.
Yep.
And both George Barna and George Gallup are telling us that 2% of the millennials have hold biblical worldview today.
Yeah.
2%.
Yep.
So, the greatest thing we can do is get people to read their Bibles and understand biblical worldview.
That's absolutely right.
And I think that's a challenge to all of us.
Yep. So you mentioned them as missionaries. So talk a little bit about how Capital Commission is funded. Are they truly raising their own funds? Is it really Capital Commission as well? So talk about how people can support that and what is kind of next for Capital Commission as you look to the future.
I'm excited about what the future holds. But let me just say, each state minister raises support. When we launch a state minister, we try to develop the field, which means bringing some church leaders and business leaders and legislators, getting to know contacts so that there's an open door, and then do a launch, trying to raise some support, open the door, allow that person to begin to be funded and be able to function in that field and continue working towards his 100% of his need. So each state has that need to raise support. And our men are seminary professors, pastors. We have men that are serving, and we also have women directors that come in and teach. My doctorate's in counseling, and I realized the importance of having a woman counseling women leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important for us to bring women on these teams as well. But the national ministry is focused on advancing. We've got a lot of states to fill. Someday God's going to lead us. We're already looking at doing ministry in nations around the world. How do we do that? So we're already exploring that. We've already have people asking us to do that.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the prayer. Locally, we're working with the National Day of Prayer. We're ministering both sides of the aisle. I think that's important to see. We're peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are ministering to both Democrat and Republican, and in a time when it's very hard for them to talk to each other, at all and really have a conversation about a problem. We're there being those that are actually providing a way for them to have a discussion around the Word of God and build some relationships. Our Tennessee State minister has taken 30-some legislators on mission trips.
Wow.
Both sides of the aisle. And they get to know each other. They said, we've never had the opportunity to get out and get to know each other. And so now you've got legislators that are working together.
Yep.
And so these are the kind of things. But that is how this is how a person comes to be a state minister. Yeah. We have a vetting and training process. And I encourage anyone listening to this, if they've got this desire, our Gospel Advance shares information about this ministry, and you can find that at capitolcom.org, capitolcom.org. And on the left side, you'll see Gospel Advance. And as you walk through that, you're going to hear the testimony of one of our state ministers about his call. And, of course, you can just send us info at capitolcom.org. We'd love to communicate with you.
Yeah, that's excellent. So one final question I have for you, and you mentioned this earlier that you are excited. So what is it that you are most excited about right now, looking ahead? If you could just pick one thing that just has really got you excited.
I believe, as Tom Rainer, who served 30 years in the Kentucky State House as a Democrat legislator, he shared with me last fall something that made me excited but also made me sad. He said no other ministry is having the impact on legislators like Capitol Commission is in the name of Jesus. And as I've met with others, they said, hey, this ministry is doing it right. There's a lot of ministries that come in the Capitol and they have a political approach, whether it's lobbying. And I'm not against them, don't get me wrong. But this is desperately needed. So I'm excited because America needs Christian worldview. America needs the gospel.
Yeah.
America needs revival. Our leaders are under attack and duress. And so we're there providing that area, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And that excites me because this is a mission field.
Mm-hmm.
I was handing a Bible study out in the NC Capitol a few years ago. I gave you a current illustration, but let me give you a few years ago illustration. And this legislative assistant chased me down the hallway. And her high heels were clicking on the tile floor. And she had the Bible study rolled up in her hand and she's shaking at me. And when I turned around, I saw that image and I'm thinking, I'm in trouble. You know, this isn't good.
Right.
And so she said, do you know what this is? And I looked at her timidly and I said, it's a Bible study. And she goes, no, it's not. It's dynamite. And she said, how many people in here do you think go to church? And I knew it was about 20 to 25% of the people that are legislators and staff. And she said, not very many. Keep doing this. Keep doing this. We counted 3 years ago, and we hand out clearly written expository Bible studies weekly during session, about monthly outside of session. And we had distributed 100,000 handwritten expositional Bible studies.
Wow.
And we do exposition so we don't say, okay, here's the text that applies to this bill.
Right. Yep.
We let God speak to them. And God addresses sanctity of life. God addresses what's the purpose of government. God addresses moral issues.
Yep.
And you walk through the Bible and you see that the Bible's written to address a life, right?
Yep.
So, so that's the power of this ministry. That's what excites me.
Yep.
Because we're coming in and no matter who wins this election, we still have a great ministry.
Yep.
Because the whole country needs Jesus.
Yep.
And that's never going to change.
Yep.
That's never going to change.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Brad, I want to thank you for your time. And truly, I want to echo what that woman said to you. Keep this up, because you're right. It is a mission field right here in our own backyard. And so I thank you and your team for all that you do, and a lot to be praying for over you and for your team. So everybody listen right now, make sure that we are praying for you, supporting it. And one more time, tell people how they can get connected with you all. What's the best way?
Go to capitolcom.org, CAPITOL.com. So it's CAPITOL.com, short for Capital Commission. Make sure it's capital with an O. that means the people at the capital, not the geographic location.
Right.
So capitalcom.org.
Yep. Yep. Excellent. Well, thank you again for your time and for your ministry. And everybody listening, make sure that we are praying over you, over our leaders, especially even right now during this very political season that we're in as well. So God bless you, sir, and thank you for your ministry.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for joining and listening to our program today. And thank you to Crossroads Fellowship and the Truth Network for making this show possible. You can find out more information about Crossroads Fellowship at crossroads.org. If this show has impacted you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at info@crossroads.org. Thank you to C3 Advantage for sponsoring this program. We look forward to having you join us on the next show.
Your success as a leader hinges upon buy-in from your teams, clear and consistent communication from you, and strategic delegation. My name's Cheryl Scanlon. C3 Advantage helps you steward your most valuable resource well, improve retention, grow employee engagement, and generate higher team and individual ownership. The success of your organization begins with you and depends on your team. Go deeper as a leader and watch your organization go further. Visit C3Advantage.net at C3Advantage.net.